Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I thank for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to consciously come together as we link hearts, minds across the airwaves to deepen in communion and connection with the ground of being God in us as us. And this Sunday, I kind of want to continue on from the Easter story. And so I'm going to kick off with a story which is from the Bible, John 20:19-31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he turned and said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those that have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. So So there's kind of three parts I want to share to that story and break it down. And always we like to look at the metaphysical, and then I'll jump into the sacred text behind it. So we know when we studied the 12 faculties of man, the 12 powers that are represented by the 12 disciples, that Thomas represents understanding. But he's understanding that can be both that which is discerning and the understanding that is based on knowledge and sometimes unable to comprehend. The true power of understanding is, though, its ability to discern and comprehend. And on its deepest level, it really is about spiritual understanding. And the thing that we need to understand about this reading this morning is that here is a faculty, an important faculty, that when it is filled with fear, mistrust, understanding in the spiritual deeper sense is no longer uppermost, it's no longer current, it's no longer capable. We can see that understanding when filled with fear is doubtful, is mistrusting, is unable to accept. Excuse me. And let's bear in mind, Thomas is one of the 12, one that was chosen. He traveled with Jesus for the 3 years that Jesus was doing and practicing his ministry. So he saw Jesus not only raise Lazarus from the dead, but Jairus' daughter from the dead. He saw Jesus feed the 5,000. He saw Jesus when on the Sea of Galilee say to the wind and the waves, peace be still. He saw him feed the 5,000. He saw all of these things, and yet he did not have the spiritual understanding to believe and accept. Now remember that at the Last Supper, Jesus washed all of their feet because he said it was important that he do this. And we know that feet is the representation of again, gaining understanding. It's what you stand upon, what you stand for. So he was removing any doubts and fears and worries from them when he was washing their feet. And yet, as he predicted, they were all going to scatter and be fearful. And here, he presented himself. And this is the second part that I want to talk about. We know that the disciples were holed up in a room in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is a representation of the consciousness of peace. But peace was far from them because they were hiding from the Jews, from the Sanhedrin, from the Pharisees, from the people that had crucified Jesus. They were the very ones that they were afraid of, and so were hiding in this room. And the first thing that Jesus says to them upon entering in the space, peace be with you. It's important that we understand that declaration because we cannot experience understanding, we cannot experience wisdom, we cannot experience anything from God when we are displaced and frazzled and discombobulated with what's going on around us. So his immediate words, his instructions, his declaration, his affirmation for his disciples was to state for them what they needed, which was peace. Peace so that they could see and receive that which he was sharing to them, that which he wanted them to know. He had foretold everything that was about to happen as before it happened, and it happened as he said. And yet they were confused, and yet they were distressed and distraught, and yet they were fearful. The third thing that I want to point out is that the overriding thing that is necessary to experience peace and understanding and everything else that goes with this is a level of faith. When we have faith, as Jesus said, as a mustard seed, and do not doubt, all things are possible. You see, when the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith, it's not because God is some whimsical, capricious old man in the sky. It is because faith is the number one key. Let me repeat that. Faith is the number one key to control, to master, to be able to express, experience the power, the presence, the life that is in you, that is God. It's impossible to please God because it is through our faith that we can acknowledge God, that it is through our faith we can express God, it is through our faith we can experience God. So the pleasing isn't about somehow making God feel worthy or satisfied. The pleasing God is our way of accessing the divine. It's our way of accessing and utilizing the presence and the power. As the disciples were huddled in this room, faith were far from them. They'd already been emboldened to go out and heal. Jesus had sent them out before and told them, you can do this. But when our faith is shook, as the disciples' faith was shook after his crucifixion, understanding went out the window. Peace went out the window. Belief went out the window. Everything had gone out the window. So let me share our sacred text, which comes from Acts 1:8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This power that comes from the Holy Spirit allows you to stand strong for the things of God. I love that last line. The power of the Holy Spirit allows you to stand strong for the things of God. And that's definitely something we will be looking at in the weeks to come. What are the things of God? But we know, we know from our story that Jesus breathed upon them for them to receive the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit was there from the get-go, because there's nowhere where the Spirit is not. But what Jesus was doing was quickening that, awakening in them the realization that just as he was one with the Father, so were they one with the Father. Just as he could do these things, so that they could do these things. He says, you are going to have this power so that you will stand strong in the things of God. The things of God, that is peace, that is faith, that is understanding, that is wisdom, that is life. It seems that we, too, like the disciples, when things are going right in our life, we stand strong in our faith. We can stand strong in the things of God. We have our understanding, we have our faith, we have our peace, we have our faculties that are firing on all cylinders. And yes, it's easy when things are going right to be bold and brave and strong in God. But that's not when we need the faculties the most. We need our faculties the most. We need our powers. We need these representations of spirit when things are at their hardest, when things are at their most challenging, when things are at their most desperate. That's when we need to quicken our faculties. You see now, Thomas, always forever known as Doubting Thomas, because he made that stipulation that irrespective of what his colleagues, friends, and fellow disciples had shared with him that they had seen Jesus, He was adamant that unless he could see the nails in his hands for himself or see where he was stabbed at the side, he wasn't accepting. He wasn't believing. And Jesus said, blessed are those who can believe without seeing. You see, blessed are we when we trust and believe in his words that are sane and true yesterday, today, world without end. He demonstrated, he lived and expressed for us so that we can understand, so that we too can realize the Spirit of God within us as us, the Christ consciousness, and be awakened and quickened and invigorated by it. I love the text that I shared yesterday from Joyce Meyer. It says, faith means you have peace even when you don't have the answers. You see, the story in our sacred text this morning is coming back to this realization, that remembrance, that if nothing else, if we can strengthen, embolden, enlarge, and expand our faith, everything else falls into place. We don't need to know the answers, because the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't need to know what it's going to look like at the end. We don't need to know how we're going to get there. We don't need to know how it's going to happen. We don't need the answers, but we do need faith to know that there is a God, there is a presence, there is a power that knows the answers for you and for your life. And that what we need to do is to surrender and trust and have faith in that presence, that power, that life force that is unchanging and unchangeable, so it can express through us, for us, what it means for us to experience. If we've been hiding out like the disciples from fear of whatever is ongoing in our lives, from fear of not enoughness or whatever it is, and everyone is different, then we need to recognize the Christ right where we are. We need to come back to the remembrance of all of the teachings, of all of the truths, of all of the commandments of Jesus. My poem this morning is something I haven't shared from a long time, from Ted Loader, Gorilla of Grace. And it's been titled, touch me with the truth that burns like fire. Lord, send the gift of your Spirit to fill this place in myself and the world. Touch me with truth that burns like fire, with beauty that moves me like the wind, and set me free, Lord, free to try new ways of living, free to forgive myself and others, free to love and laugh and sing, free to lay aside my burden of security, free to join the battle for justice and peace, free to see and listen and wonder again at the gracious mystery of things and persons, free to be, to give, to receive, to rejoice as a child of your Spirit. And, Lord, teach me how to dance, to turn around and to come down where I want to be, in the arms and heart of your people and in you, that I may praise and enjoy you forever. My science of mind reading is entitled Staying on Center. Excuse me. The first quote comes from Brian McGill, Simple Reminders, who says, only the frantic of fear can harm you. Your calm and centered self knows exactly what to do. The second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, says, we may be sure that the whole aim of evolution is to produce innumerable selves which are all consciously centered in the universal self. the author writes, I am humbled when I notice how easily I am knocked off balance by the events of the world. It can be embarrassing to admit that sometimes even low-level inconveniences can throw me off my center and cause me to forget my spiritual nature. And when I'm off center, disturbed by challenges, big or small, real or imagined, I lose focus on the greater blessing built into my life. I forget the bigger picture. A friend who borrowed money from me repaid it in cash. I put the money into my wallet and headed home, stopping at the local grocery store to pick something up for dinner. When I got home, I realized my wallet was missing. I must have dropped it. My mood swiftly shifted into disappointment, and my thoughts landed in the certainty that whoever found the wallet had long since removed the cash and tossed it into the trash along with my identification. I drove back to the supermarket with little confidence that Lost and Found would have any good news for me. When I asked the customer service representative if someone had turned in my wallet, his face beamed and he said, "We've been waiting for you," and handed over my intact wallet with cash included. How had I let the moment get the better of me? What caused me to forget my conviction that I live and move and have my being within a holy universe? And more importantly, what practice can help me keep on center? I think we all, like the author, can relate to that moment or moments when our spirituality, our spiritual practice, our spiritual truth goes out the window, when in the moment, whatever it is that is causing us distress reigns uppermost in consciousness. I shared to my women's group on Friday that the spiritual journey, the spiritual path, is one where we are consciously having to practice, not just on a daily basis, but on a moment-to-moment basis, these truths that were taught so many thousands of years ago that are still applicable now in each and every one of our lives. As I often say, the spiritual journey is not for the faint-hearted, because it does require that we change. It requires that we effort. It requires that we have a spiritual practice that keeps us anchored, anchored in the truth that is unchanging, that we allow our thomas faculty, our understanding, our discernment power to operate and fire on all cylinders. We require our faith faculty to be uppermost and consciously in effect for whatever it is we are facing. We have to embrace and express our faith in every condition or circumstance we find ourselves in. And if you do not or are not able to rally your faith, then at least you must be able to affirm that God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Find an affirmation. For me, it's always it's usually a Bible quote that can quicken me and bring me back to the remembrance of the truth that is unchanging, the truth that is the same yesterday, today, world without end, the truth that Jesus said, once you know, will set you free. My beloved, the universe requires us not to be like doubting Thomas. The universe requires us to embolden our faith so that we can experience the peace that passes all human understanding. The peace that doesn't crumble when things do not seem to be going our way or as we would like it or as we planned or wished for or desired or envisioned. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes. As we go within, consciously choosing to honor our body temple, and consciously choosing to honor the emotions that are stored within each of the organs within our body temple, to expand on the positive and release the negative. Excuse me. So I invite you to bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Allow it to fall into its natural rhythm. And always, I remind you of the words of Job. He said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we take the next three deep breaths in, let us be conscious that we are breathing in the life-giving, renewing, rejuvenating breath of God. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach. And breathe in the breath of life. Gently, slowly. For the final time, inhale. Bring your attention down into the space of your heart, that cave, that sanctuary, that monastery of the soul. Take a moment to just acknowledge with gratitude the work that the heart does as it pumps the blood around the body. And inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Take your attention round to your back, to the lower part, to your kidneys. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of kidneys to you in eliminating the toxic substances out of your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe out, as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Bring attention to your liver on the right side of your body under the rib cage. Take a moment to acknowledge the work the liver does as it detoxifies the blood and combats infection. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Now bring your attention to your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude all the work the lungs do as it brings in the air from the atmosphere and passes the oxygen around the bloodstream. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe out, breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Bring attention to your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge the work the stomach does as it stores and mixes and breaks down your food that you need for energy. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Let's just take a moment to acknowledge all the systems within the body that operate on an unconscious level. We don't direct them. We don't instruct them. And yet they carry out their functions without us even taking time to acknowledge them. So let us acknowledge the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the circulatory, the urinary, the intergametary, the reproductive, and the digestive system. All of these systems which comprise in our body temple. Now affirm. The divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. As always, we like to take a moment to set the intention for our week ahead, to see in our mind's eye that which we wish to be, do, have, or experience in the days that are coming. For each one is different. So see yourself being, doing, having, expressing, experiencing that which is uppermost in your mind and heart. Now take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the spirit, the life force, the power, the presence that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. Divine, beloved, groundless being, thou who art the absolute mystery, the source of all that is, as we consciously come into communion this morning with you, asking that you quicken the faculties within us, that our faith may be emboldened, that our understanding may be enlivened and enlightened, that we may experience the peace whereby we can know that which your spirit is directing us to do. That we may know
that right where we are, the Holy Spirit is within. There is nowhere where your Holy Spirit is not. That we need to open up ourselves in consciousness and to allow our faith, our understanding, our peace to be quickened even more so that we can express the life, the light, the love that is your Spirit within us as us. That we can allow that mind that is in Christ Jesus to be in us. That we can develop and deepen in the Christ consciousness that is ever available to each and every one of us. Our teacher in Weisho told us that greater works than what he did we shall do. He didn't exclude anything or anyone from that. But he simply reminded us that we needed the faith that can say to the mountains, and do not doubt, and it shall be done. So this morning, embolden our faith so that we may experience the peace, so that we may know and have the understanding that as we are one with God, one with good, one with the divine life itself, all things are possible. Mother, Father, God, we hold our world in our hearts, for sentient beings, for all that is happening. And we send forth love and peace and light from our hearts out to the world. We pray for a world that is compassionate, that is kind, that is just, that is fair for all its inhabitants. For the two-legged, four-legged, wind, fin, hoof. We pray for a world that supports and encourages each kind. We know that we are not the center of the web, but merely a strand in the web of life. And as such, let us hold in our hearts and consciousness a world that works for all. Mother, Father, God, let us accept our divine inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Let us accept that truly we have within us all that we need to live the life we were meant to live. Let us accept that there is nothing, no thing, that is too hard for you to do. So for all our needs, wants, and desires, we surrender them now. And allow you to do the perfect work in us, through us, as us. So at this moment in time, we're holding all those that are in need of a healing touch, physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, financially, spiritually, in whatever way their healing is needed. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. So we affirm and give thanks for their healing happening right here, right now. We affirm and give thanks that it is done. We affirm and give thanks knowing with God all things are possible. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. So it is, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers, and affirm. I open myself to the oneness of all of life. Excuse me. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart, and affirm. I radiate love to all who I meet.
bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and affirm. I'm continuously grateful for all my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as our knees affirm for our morning, time to mind affirmation and Buddhist reflection. Repeat after me. Today, I pause regularly
to recognize the eternal,
to dwell upon it,
feel it and listen to it.
Buddhist reflections,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe. Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Now, prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without. Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without. Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, but listen to me for one moment. Quit being sad. Hear blessings dropping their blossoms around you. As we come towards the close of our Sunday Soul this week, just to remind you, we'll have our 10 at 10, our midweek prayer, our 10-minute top-up on Thursday as usual. And my closing benediction. May God on earth the unsettled and unhealed places in your life, so he can heal, renew, and restore you. May he reveal a fresh revelation of his love and a new assurance of his grace. May he pour the oil of joy and gladness over your head. May he give you pools of blessings to splash your feet in. May his unfathomable greatness bring a fresh mystery to your powers and perspectives. And today, throughout the day, may you look up and above your circumstances and you remember that you're somebody that God loves, treasures, equips, and calls. He will make a way where there's been no way. Trust him. Trust her. And choose joy. Choose faith. Choose peace. And choose understanding. So my closing song is my fave of the week. It's Big Daddy Weave. And it's entitled All Things New. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
to be. That was Big Daddy Weave and All Things New. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday until we meet again on Thursday. Until, peace and blessings.